today. It's the greatest month of the year, starting out in October. I mean, it's because, you know, we got some people's birthdays that month, so I really like it. Just sets the whole year off. We got to go through 9 months to get to this one. But today I want to talk to you about this is part 8 of the church series that we're doing. No weapon formed. Y'all know this scripture out of Isaiah 54. Can you put that up, Carrie? Let's get started. Isaiah 54, this Amplified version I'm reading out of. And it says, "And all your spiritual children shall be disciples, taught by the Lord and obedient to his will. And great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure of your children." This is also said in John 6:45 that his children will be taught by the Father. The Father will teach us. And by doing that, we will have great peace and undisturbed composure. You ever seen someone that was in a storm and just didn't seem like it shook them at all? I mean, they were just not even razzled. Jesus demonstrated that throughout his ministry. Wasn't shaken no matter what was brought to him, no matter what people said about him. He wasn't shaken. They knew he couldn't, they couldn't take his life. He wasn't shaken. He was at peace with everything he did. Listening to the voice of God is in fact one of the greatest things that you can do as his child. His word says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we have to allow God to teach us in some of these things, not just getting on the concordance and all that other stuff and then finding out. We got to actually allow God to teach us his ways through our relationship with him. And through reverencing him is where we get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for what he has also called us to do. So when we are a disciple the way that he calls us to be discipled, we will have great peace. Not the cheap stuff, the good stuff. We will have great peace and undisturbed composure. Difficult times will come. Challenges may come. Undisturbed. You're not going to worry about this? Undisturbed. But this is coming, this bill is due. Undisturbed. But the doctor said this, undisturbed. God promises that his spiritual children's composure will be undisturbed and their peace will be great. Verse 14 says this, "You shall establish yourself in righteousness, rightness, and conformity with God's will and order. You shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction, for you shall not fear and from terror, for it shall not come near you." God's righteousness is God's righteousness, not yours. I can take this. No, you can't whoop the devil, the enemy, just in your flesh. It's not going to happen. We know that. "You shall be far from even the thought of oppression." Well, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel oppressed? Well, what are you dragging into your home? Remember I talked about who you hanging out with? Who you hanging with? Just seems like I just can't catch a break, Pastor Tim. All this stuff is just coming against me. I said, why is my life falling apart? It says you will be far from oppression. That's where God has placed you. Far from. And we just keep walking back to it like it's a magnet or something that's attracting us. Where God has us in Psalms 91, it says this, "He who dwells," I'm going to come back to the 15, "in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him, On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. For then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence, whose power no foe can withstand. But I'm broke, busted up, and disgusted. No, you're not. Not in Christ. Not in him. He is my refuge. He says, I will say, you have to say this. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my safety. He is all these things that he says he will be. He is the one. The Passion Translation says this, he will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. And he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. The enemy can't trap you. He can try. Try means to make an attempt. There are times, I'm going to go on and say it, I wasn't going to mess with it, but I'm going to mess with it. The prophetic. This is what I said. The Lord told me, there are men lying on you. You speak up because there are men lying on you. And the words that I give you to say will begin to refute every tongue that rises up against you. First time I did it, when he told me to speak, I saw who it was. First time. Well, if you're a prophet and it doesn't come to pass, you called yourself. I'd never called myself a prophet. I barely even call myself a pastor. I don't go off of titles. You know, sometimes we can just get a little too impatient when it comes to prophetic things. Can you imagine the prophets of old, where they were killed because they prophesied about the Son of God coming to redeem mankind? Well, it didn't happen in their time, so apparently they must have been false. 400, 500, 600 years ago. No, they just jumped the gun. They didn't believe what God had to say. And sometimes when people give a prophetic word, they're not given a time stamp. Well, it didn't happen in a month, so you must be false. It must be a false prophetic word. What? Come on, man. We got to be better than this. It came to pass the first time and every single time the Lord said it. I also said, it was two men that was trying to destroy me. Try. What does try mean? To make an attempt. They made the attempt. It didn't work. They did everything they could do. It didn't work. They made an attempt. They tried. Exactly what I said. Did it come to pass? No, because why? No weapon. Let me get off my high horse. People need to read. They need to listen. Try. Almost made an attempt. Church. The best to be, the best way to live is to be living under the shadow of the Almighty. It's not in our own power. It's not in our own power, it's in God's. Verse 15, behold, they may gather together and stir up strife. Isaiah 54:15. They may gather together and stir up strife, but it is not from me. Strife is basically contentions, rivalries between people. Get you all riled up between somebody or what have you. God's saying it's not from me. So what are we to fear? Absolutely nothing. He said, I didn't send it. Whoever stirs up strife against you shall do what? Fall and surrender to who? You. Boy, I like that. It don't matter how big they are. It don't matter where they work. It don't matter the prestige, how prestigious they may be in the community in every which way. They can get together all they want, but when they come against the children of God and try to sow strife in your life, it will not work on you. Just because they even may call themselves a Christian. Just because they may wear the t-shirt, all the gear. Just because they might even be a creaster. Y'all know what a creaster is, huh? You just come to church Christmas and Easter. They may claim to know him. But here's the thing. If they begin stirring up strife in your life, doesn't matter who it is, it will not prosper. God is saying it's not from me. It didn't come from me. That's the assurance that we have in a father. It says the enemy can gather up all the people who want in order to come against you, say things about you, criticize you, laugh at you, rehearse your past to other people. And God promises they will fall. And not only that, they will surrender to you. Wave that little white flag. All right. It's over with. You win. And all you had to do is keep yourself in love. Boy, that's an easy battle. Sometimes you do want to throat punch somebody. I think, honestly, being real, that's my hardest thing to come over. Because I'm not a person that fight. I'm not. Honestly, I'm not. Otherwise, I would have been a Hayes Finest doing that a long time ago. Sometimes you just want to bust somebody up in the mouth. But you can't do that. You can't do that. You got to continue to walk in love. He says they will fall and surrender to you, man. I got pumped up reading this today. I never read it in the Amplified. I read it in the Message. But I never read it in the Amplified for whatever reason. So then he took all that time to come up with ways to drive a wedge between you and God. But since you live in the shadow of the Almighty, you abide there, you understand he can't touch you with a 10-foot pole. So how does it seem like he has a way into our life? Jesus is the one who searches our hearts and he searches our minds. The enemy can't do that. He's waiting on your speech. He will sift your speech. What you saying to yourself. That's why you should prophesy the word of God over yourself. All that self-doubt talk that you may, we might be doing and stuff like that. Sometimes you're just going to, all right, that's enough of that. Why? He's waiting. Adversity comes your way. He's waiting for you to say something. And he can't be everywhere in one time. I mean, it's just when you just continue to give place to it over and over and over and over again. I don't know why these problems I got right here. It's our mouth. Next time you go into a place and you know that they are getting ready to say something about you. Oh, they're going to gaslight me. Oh, no. Make sure you're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. You got to get yourself there. And remember, nothing that they can say, nothing that they say can ever hurt you or harm you unless you give place to it. You don't have to repeat what they say. You don't have to go and tell everyone else what they said. You don't have to go around playing the victim. You're not the victim. Whoever stirs it up will fall. Not only that, they will surrender to you and you can take that to the bank. Brandon's there waiting on it. Take it to the bank. No man is above the word of God. God exalts his word even above his name. No one is above the word of God. So when he says they will fall and surrender to you, that's a promise. And if God says it, that settles it. Verse 16. It says, behold, I have created the smith who blows on the fire of coals and who produces a weapon for his purposes, and I have created the devastator to destroy. God created these. He created the devastator to destroy. He created these tools, these weapons, so that they may destroy certain things. But understand, it can't destroy you. God created all things with his word and his wisdom. He created these tools of devastation, and their purpose is to destroy. But guess what? God also created you. You're his greatest creation. So no weapon that he has created, that has ever been formed, can ever prosper against you. No sickness, no disease, no lie, no false accusation, nothing that people want to put out digitally. It didn't matter. It will not. They may do it. They may try it. They may put it out. They may give it to the news media and everything else, but it says it will not prosper. Sometimes we just get worked up just a little bit too much. I've done that before in the past, nothing recent. Not only did he send his son to die for your sins, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Not only that, God gave you dominion and power over all the earth. He gave you these keys to the kingdom, that whatever you allow, he will allow. Whatever you allow in your life, he will allow it. Whatever you allow on earth, he will allow it. You have a farm? Can anybody come and plant anything they want on? They can't plant some of the stuff you can roll up and... They can't. They need your permission, right? They can sneak in. But you can pluck it out. Because you didn't allow it. But whatever you let, well, I guess it's all right for them. They want to do it. It's fine. I said, sometimes we have that attitude. Sometimes the church has that attitude. Well, you know, you just got to let them do whatever it is they want to do. It's like, and God is saying, dude, you're allowing this stuff. Why are you praying to me? Whatever you allow, you have the lease on this earth. He's given it to you. Then he's going to come collect. You have a whole lot more than what you think. Verse 17 says, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me, that is which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. It doesn't matter how big it looks. It doesn't matter who the enemy has stacked up against you. It won't prosper. So sometimes we're going to have to fix our mouth. I like that. Always fix our mouth to get it to say what the word of God says. God is saying, no weapon. Son, there's no weapon formed against you. There's no addiction formed against you that shall prosper. It may take you down a wrong road for a little bit, but guess what? My word is greater than that. My love is more powerful than that. My grace is more sufficient for it. It will not prosper. The enemy can form as many weapons as he wants, but it says it won't prosper. Man. Listen, if you turn your face to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with him you can face anything. If you turn your face to Jesus, you can face any type of problem that is coming your way. Nothing too big. It will get you to the place to where you might actually start feeling sorry for the enemy. You start feeling sorry for the enemy because you know, we got this. It's not a place of arrogance or pride. It's just confidence in your Savior. There's a story when I was in ICU. And this scripture came up. Someone, Brandon, ended up texting me this. It was Sunday morning. And he's in my office and he said that my Bible was open to Isaiah 54. And he texted me that scripture. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I begin to say that over my life. As much as I can say it. Because my life has been redeemed from destruction. No weapon. The enemy doesn't like when the truth is smacking them all upside the head. They don't like that. When you begin to speak the truth of God's word. The enemy does not like it when you begin to speak it and it just smacking them all upside and then, all right, he's going to have to leave now. Fix your mouth. And begin to say, no weapon. No weapon. Lord, no weapon. Formed against me. Well, they're having a meeting over here at this person's house, and I just know they're talking about me. No weapon. They're standing over there in the offices and stuff, and they're looking at me, and they're snickering at me, and they're pointing their finger at me. No weapon. Doesn't matter. When it's all said and done, they will fall and surrender to you. You don't have to do nothing else but trust him. You ain't got to go and retaliate. You ain't got to go and get revenge. You don't have to go and put stuff out on them. All you have to do is keep yourself in love and believe in the one whom he sent to die for you. He's got this. Get yourself in the shadow of the Almighty. He'll protect you. The message says no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. And any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. You know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And God is a just God. And he's a righteous God. And when people are lying on you, don't worry about it. They will be dismissed. Dismissed out of your life. They will be canceled. But here's the thing. Make sure you don't make those weapons that they use against you, that you don't manipulate it and then turn it into bitterness. Because when they're trying to shoot at you, when they're trying to go at you and trying to get it to explode in your life, here's the thing, when you take that and you make it into bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred and rage and anger, it will implode. Again, no one can take you out, but you can take yourself out. We tend to hurt ourselves a whole lot more than the enemy ever wanted to do. All he needs you to get you to, all he tries to get you to do is to turn your words against yourself. This ain't working. I don't like this face stuff. Well, hold on there, little impatient person. How long you been doing that? Oh, well, a couple days. Seed. Time. Harvest. You're going to have to get rooted. They're talking about me. They're saying, they're throwing all this dirt on me. That's the kind of slang that we used to use. Y'all know what dirt is. They kind of put dirt on you. That's okay. That's okay if they put dirt on you. Understand, you're a seed. And the more dirt they put on you, and the more dirt they throw on you, all you're doing is just getting your roots deeper and deeper and deeper into the Word of God. So when you get ready to spring up and it's watered with the Word, you're going to reap a harvest. Let them don't throw dirt on you. Man, I'm a seed. What else you got? Now, I'm not saying that arrogantly, but what else you got? Your seeds, as much dirt they put on Jesus, and they buried him. He rose to life. And we are part of that harvest. And what was planted? They did it to him, they'll do it to us, because we're his children. But see, it won't prosper. It will not prosper. Keep yourself in love. Holding on to stuff that happened 15 years ago. Let it go. It becomes a rivalry at every family reunion. Trying to dig at each other. Let it go, man. Enjoy yourself. I'm finding it's a whole lot more easier to enjoy myself more and more every day. I like myself. I like Kristen. She's pretty funny. She's pretty quick. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. You can't get it anywhere else or through anyone else. Peace that surpasses all understanding. That comes from him. The security, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not. Come on. The triumph over opposition. By this I know that you favor and delight in me because my enemy does not triumph over me. Well, sometimes we don't lose. We don't win battles. Pastor Tim, I said, well, what God are you serving? Even when we lose, we win. Because we go home to be with the Father. We don't win, we don't lose. You were a winner ever since the day you was conceived. You beat every other cell to the egg. You were a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Quit allowing the enemy to tell you you're a loser. You can't amount to nothing. You can't put your hand on a, no, all that I set my hand to will prosper. You keep telling yourself that. You're going to have to confess this stuff over your life over and over and then water it over and over and over. And then get around people that will help water it. You don't ever have to get bitter about anything else another day in your life. Knowing good and well that those who try to stir up strife in your life, they will fall and surrender to you. Boy, that's reassuring right there. I got more pep in my step now. The justification that we receive is from the Father. This justification only comes through faith in Jesus. And God counts you righteous and innocent of all sin when you put your faith in what Jesus has done. Now he sees you justified. Heard other people say, just as if I've never sinned. See, your transgression is removed from you. And it's, as far as the east is from the west, so has your transgression been removed. So when the enemy wants to go fishing for your past and then try to reel it back in and slap it on the table and say, look at what you've done. God says, get that mess out of here. He's the righteousness of me. That's my child. And no matter what you try to throw at them, no weapon, Satan, that you form against my child, my children, will ever prosper. So stop allowing these things to implode in your lives. The bitterness has got to go. I understand what they did was hurtful, but it's got to go. A lot of people go through church hurt. People just don't go to church. I said pastors go through church hurt too. Everyone does. But we can't let that get to us. If you got to sit down, talk out your problems, do it. But if they don't want to listen, then you're just going to have to move on. Forgive them and move on. Keep walking. Family members hurt you, you got to forgive them. Sometimes that's hard, but you got to forgive them. If they don't want to listen, I can't say that. Y'all know what I want to say. I can't. If they don't want to listen, you still got to walk in love. But don't allow hatred, anger, revenge, unforgiveness. Don't allow those things to begin to bubble up on the inside of you to the place to where it explodes, implodes, because you end up taking yourself out. You know, cancer is, I say, unforgiveness is one of those roots to cancer. I mean, you just, somebody once said it's like drinking the poison and expecting someone else to die. That's not smart. So you got to let it go. God needs you. He needs you to finish the race. Finish what he set out for you. And all the enemy is trying to get you to do is to turn this mouth and work it against you. We're going to have bad thoughts, but you can take those thoughts captive. And guard your heart. For out of it flows the issues of life. I've been watching some of the, just the YouTube stuff on me. I was like, man, my goodness, I need to smile more. What is going on? But I will once I fix my smile. When you keep yourself in love, you're going to see the power of God demonstrated in your life. And I'm not just talking about weekly, that's daily. In your marriages, in your relationships, on your job, the favor that you, when you're keeping yourself in love. Challenges are going to come, keep yourself in love. Your football team doesn't get a snap off in time, keep yourself in love. Nobody likes Miami. No, just kidding. Romans 8 says this, and those whom he thus foredained, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself, and those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition of or state of being. God will always finish what he started in you. He will complete it. You're justified and you will be glorified just like he is. So whatever he started on the inside of you, he's going to complete. You're still a work in progress. You're still downloading. But whatever he started in you, he will complete. Turn to your neighbor and say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, don't use that weapon against each other, though. I don't know. It just seems like there's a big weight off of me. Why do you have a weight? I don't know. Maybe that's just the pressure of being a pastor. It's the easiest job in the world. When you got people like y'all. No weapon. No hurricanes. No tornadoes. When you get a revelation of the word, it's something about it just does something different. I mean, it takes you from this level to the next level. And it's like, it's not about pride. It's not about arrogance. It's just that confidence. That's that assurance that you have. We should all be wanting to get a revelation of the word because it's going to take us to another level. The enemy don't want you to. That's why, hey, there's another show out. We're going to have the Netflix. We're going to have the binge watch. I just did that again. I'm guilty of that. I binge watched Cobra Kai. I like Karate Kid back in the day. And they made a spinoff for you. Some of y'all don't know. They made a spinoff and just, it's really good. I got to stop doing that though. I think I watched about 4 or 5 times since the 5th season. But he wants us to take us to another level, that revelation. Don't know how to work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Kurt, those days are behind you. When you begin to walk with him daily, he will show you things that you've never seen before. And not only that, he will take that from you if you give it to him. Because he loves you. And he's never stopped loving you. All you have to do is just receive what he's given you. And continue to walk in it. Hallelujah. How's your arm? Better. Yeah. We speak to that soreness in the name of Jesus. We command it to be healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Speak healing in your body. Thank you. Thank you for healing, Lord. Thank you. Joe has your arm. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anyone here who they don't have a relationship with Jesus, and they want one. It's not just a relationship, it's a fellowship with him. It says, no man can come to the Father except by me, by him. But when you do that, he welcomes you into the family. He died on the cross for you. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And that power, if you accept it, that raised him from the dead will live on the inside of you when you receive it. And if that's you, if you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, just raise your hand for the first time. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? You feel your chest pounding? That's probably the Lord. He doesn't force his way upon you. He knocks. Well, let's just say this with this Heavenly Father. Today, I make you my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I believe you died for me. And 3 days later, you were raised to life. And I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for taking away my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Get ready to receive communion. Thank you, Jesus. It says here in 1 Corinthians 11:26, it says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. For this reason, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in the wrong spirit will be guilty of dishonoring the body and the blood of the Lord. So let each individual first evaluate his own attitude and only then eat the bread and drink the cup. For continually eating and drinking with wrong spirit will bring judgment upon yourself by not recognizing the body. And we are the body. This insensitivity is why many of you are weak, chronically ill, and some even dying. If we examine ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, it is the Lord's training so that we will not be condemned along with the world. It says, I have handed down to you what came to me by direct revelation from the Lord himself. The same night in which he was handed over, he took bread and gave thanks. He distributed it to the disciples and said, take, eat, and eat your fill. It is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And also in 1 Corinthians 11:25, it says, he did the same with the cup of wine after supper and said, this cup seals the new covenant with my blood. Drink it, and whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. We understand that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And we just thank you, Jesus, for your blood. We thank you that your body, even though your body was not broken, we break this bread for you, Lord. We thank you that you are just such an awesome God. The things that you chose to do for us, we can never repay you. But we can become a living sacrifice for you. Daily. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When you come on up, we can start in the first rows. And y'all can come up. Get your cracker, drink your juice, together as a family. And your children come along.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.